We're going to continue in Romans 8 today. We started our Easter series later than I wanted because I was delayed an extra week. Thought I was going to be more superhuman than I was. I ended up being an actual human, go figure. So we started a little late. We're walking through Romans. We're going to have next week on Easter, and then we're going to have one more week after that. So Romans 8 again today. We'll be in verse 12. Inheritance. When I say that, what comes to mind? The word inheritance. Probably many things. You're going to get something. It's usually what we think about when it's inheritance. Maybe it's you're going to be left out of something. Whatever you did, you got scratched from the list. Maybe we think about family arguments. I've seen that happen from time to time over inheritance. I wanted that. I did not get that. Sometimes it's sentimental. Sometimes it's other things. Maybe we think you just lost someone you love. Maybe that's what inheritance brings to mind. It's not the things you were going to get. It's, I want the person back. Maybe that's it. There are all kinds of feelings that are brought to the surface when inheritance is mentioned. We're going to look at this word, inheritance, today as we continue our Easter series here in Romans 8. We're going to see that the inheritance we speak of today is eternal, cannot be earned. Being an heir to the Father in our text today will be the most important gift you ever receive. Amen. Three parts this morning. By the Spirit, adopted by God, and heirs of God. Romans 8, verse 12. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Heirs with Christ. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this worship, this time of being together and praising your name. And Father, we thank you for your holy word. Help us dive into it together and help us let it guide our lives moving forward today. In Jesus' name I pray. So last week, we started Romans 8 by seeing that the cross of Christ offered us life. That's what we covered last week, specifically the Spirit of life, the same Spirit who's equal to the Father and the Son, and the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the grave, and the same Spirit in all who believe. Amen. This Spirit of life. This week we're going to see that Romans 8 says the cross of Christ also offers an inheritance. This is our second offering to look at in our Easter series on Romans 8. So let's dive in to this inheritance by the Spirit. So we start this morning in the same place where we left off last week, the Spirit of God. The Bible keeps coming back to this Spirit. We cannot ignore it. Our world today does not live by the things unseen like this Spirit. It just does not.
Amen.
Prove it. show me. Video or it didn't happen, right? That's the world we live in today. The problem is Christianity is powered by the unseen, fueled by this Spirit of God, the most important aspect of your faith, this Spirit of God.
Amen.
There's a spiritual warfare going on around you, a war for the very souls of those around you, and God's Spirit dwells within the believer. Of the world or of God, and the Spirit is the difference. We need to understand this. This is what we looked at last week. We need to walk through this life like we believe this. Pray like we believe this. Gather like we believe this. Last week, it was spirit and life or flesh and death. And this week, Paul says to us that if you walk in the flesh, live according to the flesh, which means worldly desires, which means walking in your sins. If you walk like this, then you will die. That's what he says. He does not hold back. Spiritual death. Hell. Not there is a chance. Not, he doesn't say that it will be tougher for you. He says dead. An eternal decision being made by your actions in this world. Your decisions, what you're leaning into, is revealing an eternity of life in heaven or death in hell.
Amen.
Hear that. Now, we are right to say that action can never save a person. Faith alone in Jesus alone saves, but surely action can reveal a person.
Amen.
Superstar athletes revealed on the playing field all the time by their actions and not their words. You can't just claim to be a superb athlete. Good actors reveal in their characters they're playing and not merely their claims. If I said to you that I like to hunt, maybe you wouldn't care one way or the other. Like, whatever. The guy likes to hunt. If I said to you I was the best hunter to ever live, now you want proof. The trophies, the stories, video, something. You got to have something to make that claim. Who are you seen as by the world? By your neighbors, by your family. The reality is that it may not match up with what you claim. I hope it does. I pray that it does. It may not match up with your baptism, with your church membership. If you claim faith in the Lord Jesus, which means His Spirit within your life, and your neighbor does not know you are a Christian, you may have a problem. Now some think, Pastor, you can't say these kinds of things and expect people to want to come here. You can't say these kinds of things and expect people to want to come and hear this. That's too harsh. Well, here's the deal. I would love for this place to be full every weekend, as would you guys. I would love for us to be overflowing with the means for endless ministry opportunities, for us to be having to add pastors, add services, add to the building. This is the dream of many in here. What a blessing that would be. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to be in your life, in the hard times and in the good. I'm here for that. I'm here to offer the good news of Jesus Christ, to preach this holy word of God, to teach it, to call everyone to repentance and faith. All these things add up to church growth, if the will of God, but we cannot leave people where they are.
Amen.
For numbers. Amen. I can't hold back truth to fill seats. That's the benefit of preaching through Scripture like we do here. We're walking through Acts together. We're walking through Romans 8 together, verse by verse. I don't get the opportunity to skip a verse. We learn what's on the page. Sometimes it makes you feel good. Sometimes it convicts us. But it's all the Word of God. The truth is, Paul here is telling us that this Spirit of God must be present in your life.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. It must be present. And your life tells you if it is. Not some prayer, though you should be praying. Not some walk down front, though you're welcome anytime. Not some proclamation of your faith, though we should be doing this often. The Spirit within moving you from death to life. And the world will see a difference. That's it. Do you believe? Do you have the Spirit? Is it putting to death who you once were? Can the world around see what you claim to be within you? It's hard to put to death the flesh if you're never here, if you're never gathered. It's hard to really shake off the world if you're constantly in the world and you never get re-energized by God's people and God's holy word and singing praises to the God Almighty. You must gather with the people of God. By the Spirit is how it must be done. There is no other way. And if by the Spirit, then everything else is yours. What do I mean by that? Well, let's continue in our text. Adopted by God. Paul says here, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. We saw it last week. We see it again this week. Then he says, if Spirit, right? We've been looking at this word, if, last week and now this week. If Spirit, if born again, then sons of God. This means children. Now this feels natural to us in one sense because we refer to God as the Father and the Son and the Spirit. However, we need to reflect on what this means. If the Spirit indwells you, it is within you, then you are a child of God. Now, the world likes to drop the word if. It's not if. It's everyone is a child of God. Well, that is not the case. We know this by our verse today. It says if Spirit, then child of God. Right? Amen. We know this because everyone is said to be made in the image of God, but it never says everyone is a child of God. We're told we are born again. We are made new. That is how you become children of God. John 1 verse 12 and 13 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So it says the right to become and not already were. That's important. Were of flesh, were of own desires, then of God. Galatians 3:26 says, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. Hear that. Move from not children to sons and daughters of God through your faith in Jesus. In what he did for you on that cross. This is not everyone everywhere, but those who believe. We do a great disservice when we let people walk around with this idea that they are good in the eyes of their Savior while leaning into the world, while remaining the same, while never being born again. Christians must be born again to be a child of God. That's what Scripture says, which means repentance and life change. And then we must reach into the world. Amen. Now our text goes on to say that this Spirit is not of slavery and fear, but one of adoption that calls you to be His. That calls you to cry out, Abba, Father. What does that mean? Paul uses it again in Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The word Abba is Aramaic. This is the language Jesus would have spoken. It's what the disciples would have spoken. It was Hebrew in the synagogues. It was Aramaic in their life. In Aramaic, it means Father. So our text reads, Father, Father. This term's used by children and adults alike to refer to their earthly fathers. Where did Paul get this usage? Well, he got it from Jesus. He's in the garden before his crucifixion for our sins. He sees the cross coming. He's going to do it for us. He's in the garden and he's praying to his Father. You remember this? He's praying that this cup may pass from him, not in fear of death, not in fear of torture, but all these things, plus the entirety of all the sins of all of mankind to ever live, pressed upon him. He's praying for this. And he's also praying, above all this, his Father's will be done. And he says, Abba, Father. What this means is relationship. Paul is pointing to a relationship. This is what adoption means. You were once not mine, but now are mine. It is what Father means. Now this applies a couple of different ways to the world we live in. First and foremost, what a gift it is to be a son or a daughter to the Father in heaven. Adopted in by the Creator of everything. Never take for granted this gift. You are one of His. Let that rest upon you. Secondly, we live in a world that has distorted what fathers should be. An evil distortion. Some have had evil fathers doing vile and wicked things. Some have had no father at all, was never there, never knew them. Some have had fathers ever present in their lives, but it was only to spoil, to give lavishly everything you've ever dreamed of. This sounds good, but even this one is wicked and works to distort your view of who your Father in heaven should be. What do I mean? Well, what are your wants or desires? What comes to mind when I say your wants or your desires? Be honest. What are they? New car? New house? Health? Wealth? Happiness? How far down before you get to your salvation on your list? How far down do we have to go? How far down do we have to go for you to list a desire for others to meet Jesus? You see, our wants and our desires are mostly selfish and worldly. And then we expect more of the same from our Father in heaven. Here's the things I want, and you're the one that's going to give them to me. Or we have a distrust because of the various other fathers on the spectrum we have in this sinful world. Everyone has a story. No matter your story, I need you to hear something. This is not your Father in heaven. He will neither lavish nor neglect. He will never be wicked, but he'll also not give you the world. And he will always be there. Know this. Hear this. He will never fail you. He will never leave you. The Creator and Sustainer of all things sacrificed Himself on earth for you, and you can never, ever be loved more by anyone else. Not your spouse, not your child or grandchild. Never be loved more than anyone else. If you have been adopted, if you have been made new, if His Spirit is within you, then you are His forever. Adopted forever. The question to ask yourself is thus this describing. Does this describe you? Are you His? Let's move on. Heirs of God. So far we've seen, you must have the Spirit to be saved. Faith in Jesus means His Spirit inside of you. They are one and the same. We've also seen that if Spirit means children of God. Adopted by God. This is not a human Father with all of our faults, all of our shortcomings. This is the Father of everything and perfect in every way. That's who we're speaking of. Now we will see that if child of God, then an heir of God. First, what is an heir? Well, an heir is is someone in line to receive something, right? Some sort of property from someone else, some object, whatever it is, it's passed on to you. You're receiving an inheritance. This is important in our day, but it was even more important to the context here that Paul is writing in. Your name was everything. Your family's inheritance was everything. We see this in the story of Ruth and her redeemer. She had nothing until redeemed, right? That sounds familiar. We have nothing until Jesus redeems us. We see it in the story of the prodigal son. In that one, he's requested his inheritance even before his father was gone. He says, "Give to me what is owed." We know in that story that the heir squanders the inheritance, but eventually makes his way back to the father. This story usually resonates with most people because most people have been the wandering prodigal son in their life at some point. What does our text mean when it says heirs of God? What are we inheriting? Well, Ephesians calls it the kingdom. Galatians calls it the promise. 2 Corinthians calls it the righteousness of God. Titus calls it eternal life. Listen to Hebrews 1:14. It says, "Are they all not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" So this is the inheritance. If you place it all together, you place your faith in Jesus for your salvation, your eternal place in the kingdom of heaven promised to all believers. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Amen. We can hear no better news in this life than that. Amen. Inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. However, there's an added description in our verse today that really adds to this inheritance. How can you add to this that we've already discussed? It says, heirs of God. Now this detail, at first glance, seems like it's salvation, but look again, it is salvation. There's an inheritance that is salvation, but more than this, it is God Himself. You're inheriting the salvation of God. You're also inheriting God. That's what it means to be saved. You are His. He is yours. His Spirit within you. And we get this inheritance by standing with Jesus, the Son of God. By having His Spirit. Listen to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. "But in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sins," there's the cross and the tomb, "He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." This is who we stand with, if indeed we are heirs. If we are children, if we have the Spirit. How do we know if we stand with the one who upholds the universe by the word of His power? How do we know if we stand with this one? Well, verse 17 tells us. It says, "Provided we suffer." Why couldn't it say, "provided we pray," or "provided we tithe," "provided we gather"? It can almost say anything else, "provided we believe." Why does it have to say, "suffer"? We always come back to this notion of suffering for Jesus. It is because, first and foremost, He suffered for you.
Amen.
He suffered for you. And because what you will suffer for reveals what is important to you. Your kids, your family, maybe even your career, long hours, weekends. How about your Savior? How about your eternity? It says if we suffer for Him, then we are heirs and we are adopted and we have His Spirit. If we suffer. Now I think of Lent when I think of the suffering in this passage. Anyone in here do Lent? It's a Catholic thing traditionally, but many people still do it. It's this 40 days. It's signifying his 40 days of fasting before his ministry in the wilderness, but it also points us to other things. It's a denial of self. It's a fasting of sorts. It's a time of sacrifice and personal reflection. A time to reflect on your Savior. What do we give up for Lent? Nothing if we don't do Lent, right? It's the easy answer. It's not all food, right? People who do Lent still eat. Maybe it's water only. Maybe you're drinking water only and no sodas. Usually it's something like you gave up Coke, but you're still drinking Pepsi. Right? You gave up cookies, but you're still eating cake. And Pastor, you don't know how much I love the cookies, but you're baking a cake. I'm only going to eat thin crust pizza. You won't catch me with a pan pizza in my hand. Not during Lent. Now, these are silly. These are done silly. There are things people really give up for Lent. But these are the sacrifices meant to draw us closer to our Savior. Meant to highlight suffering. Not really, right? Think about what you'd be willing to do for your children. What would you be willing to do for that child, that grandchild? I bet the list is very long. How would you be willing to suffer? Now, what about for your eternity? What would you be willing to do to give up, to suffer for your eternity? I'm willing to say that without His Spirit, you will not suffer for Him. You will suffer in this world, but it will not be for the gospel if His Spirit is not leading you. It takes God within us for us to suffer for Him. It just does. Do you suffer for Jesus is the question. Do you stand out when everyone else blends in? Do you put aside the worldly for His name's sake? It may not be enduring pain. That's what we think about when we think suffering, torture, pain. Maybe we think the cross when we think suffering. Maybe it's not enduring pain. Maybe it's turning from pleasure. It may not be real hardship, but merely chancing persecution over your beliefs. Is Jesus always claimed by you, no matter what it will cost you? This reveals who you are. Who is it? Your inheritance awaits. Who is it? Last week it was the cross offered life. And this week it is that the cross offers inheritance. One that cannot be earned but must be gifted, and if gifted, then heirs of God, heirs of the God of the universe. Amen. Everything changes when you are an heir. Everything. When you stand with Jesus, when you claim to be a child of God, has everything changed for you? All at once, it could be this. Rarely is it this. Normally it's two steps forward, one step back, three steps back, four steps back. Eventually you'll get there. Can you see who you were and who you are now? Can you feel the joy in the words, you are loved by God? You are loved by God. If not, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. His Spirit within you and His inheritance will be shared with you today. What's on your heart? What weighs you down? Bring anything at all to your Father as we sing. The cross of Christ offers an eternal inheritance. Come claim your inheritance today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this life we live here. Father, we know we take for granted in our lives many, many things. Father, we ask that you be with us now and convict us of the things that need to change. Encourage us in the areas we need encouragement. Give us courage outside these walls to deliver your gospel message, Father, because we know all who we see in our life need to know your Son. Help us be burdened by this. Everyone needs Jesus. Father, help us leave this place changed by your holy word, pushing out with your holy word into the world today. Father, we thank you for the Son. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.